Amen. Well, I've asked Brother Treadwell, like I said, to come tonight and kind of give a report and where he's headed, what he's doing. And a lot of you haven't seen the video, so I want you to see the video tonight. And then I'm going to do, he's going to give me at least 10 minutes of time tonight. And we're going to do an introduction to Ephesians. And look forward to next Sunday night getting back into Ephesians and preaching through the book. Amen. All right, Brother Treadwell, you come on.
Tell you, we have a church that loves us, and I thank you guys for everything you've done for me and my wife. Appreciate you supporting us in India for the last year. Things turned a little bad over there. The Indian government kicked us out for 2 months, which wasn't too bad. God knows what he's doing. And we came home and we exchanged a 9-year visa for a 6-month visa. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but only God knows. And like the preacher says, we have to come home in 6 months and do it all over again. I went to preacher to ask him, do you think the Lord's closing the door? He said, well, do you? And I said, well, no, I don't. In my heart, we still want to serve in India, and that's what we're going to do for the next 6 months. We're going to pray along with your prayers. We'll know in 6 months what to do, because God's going to tell us. You know, my granddaughter was asking her mom this morning. She said, I want to tell people about Jesus, but I'm afraid to. Well, my daughter said, pray, God will open it up. So we've got my daughter. She's about, I think she's almost 9. She's wanting to do it. We got Dr. Henderson here, almost 91, and he's still doing it. You know, it leaves a big doubt for the rest of us. We know what we got to do. We just got to do it. 370. Somebody's doing something, but you know there's a lot more to do. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. I'm just going to make a comment here. Acts 8:26. You know, God spoke to Philip. And he had a job for Philip. He said, go. And I won't go into everything, but there was a man. He was in a chariot riding from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. He had picked up some scriptures that somebody had printed. I wished I could have said I printed them, but I can't say I printed them, but maybe I can say I printed some oration that somebody gets saved by here, and you can know that you put some money toward that, and I think you can have some pride in that. But Philip, I'm wanting to think he was praying. I want to say he was seeking God's will for what to do next. He was sitting, praying, waiting, and God told him what to do. He got up immediately because the Ethiopian was on his way back to Ethiopia. And I would imagine, what can I see in my head, he had to scramble. He had some ground to cover to catch the guy. Well, you know, he led him to Christ. He told him how he could be baptized. He was baptized, and the Lord called him away. I believe the Lord had a job for him somewhere else. That's what we need to do. We need to go out and win a soul, and then we need to be called away somewhere else. There is just millions of people out there that's lost. My granddaughter don't know how to do it. My daughter says, pray about it. That's what we all should do, is pray about it. God will put somebody on your heart. My son-in-law said this morning, he was just afraid to witness to his boss. He didn't know how in the world he was going to do it. But his boss come to him. That took care of a little fear. He witnessed to the guy. Now, the guy don't get saved. Doris is okay now because he witnessed to him. So as we go to India, just pray for the Lord to have, for us to be in the Lord's will. And we're going to show this video. And I think I am going to just take 10 minutes more, maybe. I've never told my testimony, and I think I just need to. We was both raised in a Methodist church and left and moved to Michigan. And we had some friends there that was Christians. They never shared the gospel with us. Don't never do that. If you see somebody that's unsaved, get them saved. We asked them a few years after, how come you didn't witness to us? They said, well, we didn't think you was ready. Well, leave that up to God and let God tell you. Anyway, God moved us from Michigan to North Dakota. And there was an individual there. His name was Verlin Zachary. And you can probably pick up the songbook there, and his boy is in that songbook. His name is Mike Zachary. Well, anyway, we got there. He knew we weren't in church because I knew the Zacharies from some of the meetings we used to have when we went in business. And I knew that he was a Christian, and I didn't care for him. As soon as I hit the job, he started inviting me to church. I'm telling you, the very day I was on that job, he invited me to church. For 5 days, he invited me to church. Friday, they was having a meeting, a revival. Friday, I told him, if he'd just leave me alone afterwards, we'd go to church that night. So he said, okay, fair enough. So I went home and told my wife, and she wasn't too excited about going. She says that, I think there's a movie on she wanted to watch. I don't know what it was. It's been 45 years ago. But anyway, I convinced her, and we went that night. And to make a long story short, we both got saved that night. So God knows what he's doing. And from that, two kids were saved. And I'm in India, so I can't say much more about that. We was visiting them about 5 years ago, and we was in a Walmart. It was around Christmas time. Me and Zach was, we was shopping, we was walking, the wives were shopping, and we was talking, and I stopped and looked for something, and turned around, and he was gone. So I started looking for him. And I finally found him. He was around the corner. He had his little New Testament out, leading the lady to Christ. That's what we ought to be doing, all of us. It don't take much. Just a few words, and a few words are leading to other words, and you can do it. All of us can. Just pray for us. I'm going to show the video, and maybe if the pastor allow me to, maybe you'll ask some questions, and maybe if we can answer them, we will, and give you a better idea of what's going on over there. And like I said, we've got to come back in 6 months. We're going to start to process over again with the visa, and maybe if we're real good and the Indians know it, maybe they'll give us 5 years next time.
India is a country of over 1.2 billion people. It is the second largest country in the world and is home to the fastest growing and youngest democracy in the world. A recent study showed that over 80% of India practices Hinduism, a religion of many gods which is based on ritual and reincarnation. Over 17% of Indians are Muslim, making India the second largest Muslim population in the world. Christianity, in its broadest description, represents only 2% of India's population. God has called Roger and Elizabeth Treadwell to give their lives in service meeting this great challenge. Roger is a professional printer who has dedicated his life to publishing the Word of God to the diverse peoples of India. Many have already given to establish a state-of-the-art printing facility in southern India that Brother Treadwell will now operate. Mrs. Treadwell will be involved in teaching the Word of God to the many children that live in the Berean Baptist Orphanage on the printing press property.
This is the roll press that was put in about 6 years ago. It's a full-color press. It'll handle two rolls. This is the folder where the paper comes out ready to be bound. And we are proud of it. It's going to do a lot of Bibles for India and for any country that we can find a language and the need arises, we're going to print.
It's wonderful to have the Treadwell family as a part of our church. I know the Treadwells are going to do a great job in India. They have a great burden for the people of India and for printing Bibles and tracts in India. I want to wholeheartedly recommend them to you and your church.
Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Some people don't even have the written word of God. I'm not a preacher, I'm a printer, supplying the most important tool, the word of God. We have the capability to print Bibles, New Testaments, John and Romans, songbooks, Sunday school material and tracts. I cannot start churches in India or witness door to door. It is illegal and sometimes dangerous. Punishment can range from abduction, death, and anything in between. We will share the gospel, but very carefully. My calling is printing the Word of God for the Indian people as well as around the world. The need is great. Matthew 16:15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The most populated area in the world is the 1040 window. This includes India, Russia, China, Middle East, other countries. Printing in India makes it more affordable to ship to these countries. We'll be working with Biblical Baptist Church located in Bangalore. Biblical Baptist Church also has a seminary training young men and women for the ministry. Because the students come from all parts of India, we have a tremendous opportunity to have them to help with Bible translation. Dr. Edwin Jelly is the president and pastor of Biblical Baptist Church. Serving with him is his wife, Sarah. People ask us where we live in India. The apartment building, print shop, and orphanage are on the same property. The apartment is about 100 yards behind the print shop. It is a fourplex building. Each apartment has about 600 square feet. It's small, but it's fine for me and my wife. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The orphanage is about 1,000 yards to one side of the apartment building. It now houses about 26 children. As you might see, they have the bare necessities. My wife and I have been given the opportunity to share with these children something that most Indian children will never receive, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2007, we shipped a few clothes, school supplies, crafts, and toys to the orphanage kids. They were very thankful, even though it was so little.
I'm Dr. A.B. Henderson, and for the last 68 years, I have been deeply involved in mission work, spreading the gospel around the world. And I find it a tremendous pleasure to recommend to you Mr. and Mrs. Treadwell, who are going to India. Roger is a highly skilled technician when it comes to the printing world with machines and skills, and Elizabeth is a very fine Christian woman and is a skilled teacher of the Word of God and will work in an orphanage there doing a work that only she could do. You would do right well to support this wonderful couple.
This video of the children was about 4 or 5 years ago. They're about another foot taller now. Some of them. We've got a couple of them are just real small. I'd like to, if you guys would like to ask any questions, I try to answer them. Anybody got any questions? No, it's not. Yes, sir. Printing equipment, when you take anything in India, it's theirs. You can't get it out. They just didn't do a lot with it when we left it there. And that's one reason I'm back, is I just hate to see equipment left there and not doing something right with it. So pray about other translations. I mean, that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to get a hold of any missionary I can find that maybe needs a Bible. If there's a true need for it, we're going to try to raise the money and print it. Because they've been printing Bibles for hundreds of years, and sometimes people just print them to look good. I don't know. That's all I can say. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I don't know right now. I would think they would leave the Indians, let them do their own thing, but I'm going to pursue some of that to see if I can't at least get some help, maybe wording a letter next time. You got to have a letter from both ends. Days I ride a motorcycle. one of the guys there will take me into the little village, or I can borrow it as long as the police aren't sitting there. I'm all right. he keeps saying that no problem, but if they catch me, they may take his motorcycle. I don't know. We're gonna try to get a motorcycle license just around the area, because that helps a lot. But like going into town to church on Sundays, we rent a vehicle from the little village, and we go to town. And it's very expensive. You guys are going to be missionaries. Some of you will. You got any questions?
Well, let's just use this, can we? All right. Well, then, you know, he asked the question as the Lord closing the door. And I said, do you feel that way? He said, no. I said, well, you know, as long as the door's open, if it's open for 6 months, go. Amen. And they were trying to get a different type of visa and just kind of what do you call it, backfire on you? And but, you know, the Lord has a reason for it. And so they'll go over there 6 months, come back, and then reapply for another visa. And they're going over there to print. And listen, this next 6 months, you say, what are you going to do in the next 6 months? They're going to print the Croatian Bible. This is a translation that we had a great part in. About 5 or 6 years ago, Brother Johnny Leslie came to our church, presented his work, and we began to support him. But at the same time, we were the very first church to give towards the Croatian translation that his church was thinking about doing. In fact, he said to me, he said, when we came to your church, we were only thinking about coming with, you know, knew the Croatians didn't have a good translation. We wanted to do that. We were praying about it. And then our church stepped up and gave $10,000 towards it. And we paid that $10,000 out over about a year and a half period of time. And but God used our church instrumentally to get this translation going. And now our missionary is going to print that translation of the New Testament. He's got the CD in hand. He's going back. It's the first thing he'll start doing is getting the paper together and getting the bids together and bid the job out. And we'll be printing 5,000 New Testaments this first run. And he didn't share with you, but we have about $5,800 total, I believe, and monies to go towards that. And about, like I said, about $3,200 of that is what we've given. And when he goes to print, if he needs a little more, I think we could raise a little more, don't you? From our church, anyway. But they're doing such a great job. How would you like to live in a 600-square-foot apartment and have a motorcycle to drive around? And and just, you know, God's good to them, I know. But they are there, and they are sacrificing. And God's going to bless them for it. Amen? And I've been excited for them, and I am excited for them. And our church, in doing our part in taking care of them. We give them about, I think we raised it to $225 a month that our church gives them personally, plus all the other additional support we give them. I think last year was somewhere over $8,000 that we gave towards them. So that $225 is the consistent monthly stuff, but we raise the rest of the money, whether it's, I don't know, we've done several things for them. And we'll continue to do that. Amen? And we want to have a significant part in this ministry. And it is our job to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I love it. When Brother Treadwell was coming back home, I said to a couple of our men, I said, all right, what visitors do we have that haven't joined yet? Let's send Brother Treadwell. Because he is a go-getter. We'll send him. We'll stick him on him. We used to send Adam Young on things like that. But Adam Young used to call him the stalker for Jesus. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that. The Cooks, Randy Cook and Anne-Marie Cook, are here because Adam Young stalked them for Jesus. And I think they ended up with flyers and everything else on their door. Not flowers, but flyers on their door a lot. And anyway, just keeping at people, keep visiting people, keep witnessing to people. And whether it's on Tuesday and Saturday, which we'd really encourage you to come out for those nights, but even more importantly, that we witness all the time. So winning. Talking to people about the Lord Jesus. And God will open opportunities for you. So Brother Treadwell will be going back. Miss Elizabeth will be going back tomorrow. They're flying out at 4 o'clock and be leaving us for 6 months. And let's pray for them that God would do a great work through them this time. And we look forward to seeing a copy of that New Testament. As soon as it gets printed, he'll send us a copy. And so we're looking forward to that. And let's just turn, instead of going to Ephesians, we don't have time. Let's go to Matthew. And I know you've seen this verse 1,000 times, but I've seen other people. I've met others. I've been a part of working with people, working with men and ladies who have such a tender heart for winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Treadwell does have a special place in my heart. He is a man who genuinely wants to see people saved. There are missionaries out there who go to the foreign field, and even printers who have gone to the foreign field, and they'll print up Bibles or, you know, literature of any sort just to print it. And it's good to have a missionary who's there, who printing when there's a need, and not just printing for printing's sake. I appreciate Brother Treadwell for being a man of integrity that he is, and he's very much sensitive to the Lord and to how he is perceived, and as well as how he deals with the money and the stewardship he has when he's dealing with paper money or whatever the case is. In fact, sometimes he goes to the extreme and sacrifices him and the Miss Elizabeth's own finances for that. And it's a blessing to me to see that sacrifice on his part. That's why we gave him $1,200 and said, it's for you, not for the printing, not for the paper, not, you know, I think it costs $30 for you to ride that cab into town and back, I believe. You know, let's remember our missionary in prayer. But Brother Treadwell has such a great heart, and Miss Elizabeth a great heart for people. And let's remember our marching orders as a church. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You realize we have all the power available to us that we'll ever need. You know, when you go to knock on that door, or you talk to your cousin, or you meet that coworker and you witness to him, you have all the power that you'll ever need to witness to that individual. I know we've preached this before, but listen, tonight you have everything you need. Look, and he says, go ye therefore. That is not a passive, okay if you want to. That is a command. Understand this. If you're a born-again child of God, you are commanded to be a witness. It's not an option. You say, preacher, well, I'm not good with people. I can't talk to people. You know what? It's not an option. If the Lord lays somebody upon your heart, if He lays that next-door neighbor on your heart, or He lays that coworker on your heart, and you do not witness to them, you are responsible for them. That's a great responsibility. In fact, the Old Testament describes it as us being a watchman. Describes us as those who God impresses upon us to witness to and to watch out for. When we don't witness to them, their blood is on our hands. I believe it. I believe without a doubt that we'll be standing there at the great white throne judgment, that we'll be seeing people thrown into the fire, and there'll be people thrown into the fire that I didn't witness to when I was impressed upon to do so by the Holy Spirit. By the way, God doesn't wipe away all tears until after the great white throne judgment. I believe that we'll be weeping there at that great white throne judgment at some of those that we should have witnessed to. Listen, it's a command. It is a must. People are dying all around us, and they need a Savior. They need that Savior. As I preached this morning, I don't know how people live without the Lord. I don't. And I don't know how people live with the thought of death without the hope that we have. Make sense? Man, we want to give them that hope through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to experience and to experience what we have. Isn't it wonderful to lay your head down at night and not worry about death, or really, in most cases, not worry about anything? Amen? Now, sometimes we lay down, we've got a few issues going on, but man, lay down your head at night knowing that if you die today, you go to heaven. And others need to experience the same thing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Our job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to baptize, and to disciple. That is the Great Commission. Let me remind our church tonight that the Great Commission is threefold. Evangelize, baptize, this is Brother Stewart's outline, and stabilize. Let me give you Bob Smith's outline. Win them, wet them, and work them. The old preachers used to say, win 'em, wet 'em, worm 'em, and work 'em. It was a 4-1. But our job as a church, our commission, our command from our general is to win people to Jesus Christ. But not just win them, but to see them baptized and to see them discipled. There are some out there today who simply go out and win people to Jesus. Then they win them to the Lord. And man, they'll come back, woohoo, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. And the churches that'll have 1,000 saved and 2 baptized. They have not fulfilled the Great Commission. They have not. And they will be judged before God before that. Oh, but you say people, Jesus going to heaven. By their fruits you shall know them. You know how to tell easy believism over real believism? Fruit. Amen. You don't build it. Brother Jason's going down to Burleson. You don't build a church simply by going out and winning a bunch of people to the Lord. That's not fulfilling the Great Commission. You win them, you give them the baptistry, and you disciple them. That's fulfilling the Great Commission. Our church, genuinely speaking, 80% of all that we lead the Lord end up in the baptistry. And we may not have 1,001 out on our sign like some preachers do, but the ones we win, genuinely speaking, get in the baptistry and are discipled. And most of them stay with us. Amen? I'd rather win 12. Teach those 12 what to do and let them reach 12 more. That's the way Jesus did it. Amen. Amen. Our command, our marching orders is to go to all the world and preach the gospel, disciple, to baptize and disciple people. And I've told you before, and it's been my fault in the past several times, that our church has got our eyes off that from time to time. And when we have our eyes on the command, when we have our eyes all in the same direction, we all march the same direction, it keeps us all on the same page. Sunday school teacher, you're supposed to be teaching your class, yes. But if you have a lost kid come into your class, wouldn't hurt to give the gospel on that Sunday. Amen? Children's church workers, same thing. I know Brother Doyce did the whole crucifixion and the Roman soldier, and man, what a great time. I've seen the stuff that Brandon put together as well in teaching these kids the gospel. Master's Club worker, you have a visitor come in, give them the gospel. What a blessing it's been for us to see our next door neighbor behind us, Nathaniel, one of the little boys there, get saved. And then last Sunday night, the mother was here. You know, people that we're witnessing to, that you guys in Master's Club, one of the people in the Master's Club led Nathaniel to the Lord. That's what it's about. Amen? We need to fulfill the Great Commission as a church, knowing that, lo, I am with you always. He's always with us. When we go, He's with us. I'll never forget the message I heard, no go, no low. A church that doesn't go, God is not obligated to be with them. A church that goes, God is obligated Himself to be with them. Amen? And whether it's children's church, Sunday school, Master's Club, whether it's a spring fling, we did all that yesterday in order that we might reach out to our community and then we might see some of them here on Sunday. And there was a couple of them here this morning. Brand new people who've never been in our door because we spent a few $100 on some blow-ups and some candy. And our kids, and I told one of the members last night, or at the spring fling yesterday, I said, now listen, this is an outreach, but our kids have a great time. Amen? And while our kids are having a great time, we might as well reach out to our community. Amen? And the Lord blesses that. As we reach out, as we fulfill the Great Commission, God will bless it. Amen. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's win people to the Lord. Let's work for Friend Day. Let's work for these special days. Friend Day is nothing but an opportunity, an excuse for you to invite somebody you may not normally invite. You can simply go to them and say, listen, we're having Friend Day. What does that mean? It means we're having Friend Day. I'd like for you to come be my friend. Would you do that? It gives you an excuse to invite somebody so you don't have to come up with your own line. Amen? Some of you may be a little timid. You don't have to even come up with your own line. Listen, we're having Friend Day and love to invite you to be here. God will bless that. He really will. What a glorious day we had this morning. Amen? I appreciate Brother Treadwell and Miss Elizabeth and their ministry. And let's be in prayer for them. Amen. Let's all